Have you heard? They're remaking The Crow, and nerds have lost their shit about it. Hey everybody, welcome back to the Ninja Nerd Warrior podcast for March 21st, 2024. I am your host, Greg Hernandez, and yeah, The Crow is the latest project from our childhood that Hollywood has decided to remake, and nerds have lost their shit. Oh my god. I don't know if you heard a giant pop like a few weeks ago. That was the collective assholes of all of the nerds just around the country slamming shut. That's what that was. Okay, but we'll get back to that, okay? Because we've had a lot go on since, God, how long has it been since I wrote a show? Well, if we're being honest, I haven't written a show in like 3 years. All of these are just, you know, shooting from the hip, pretty much. But I was super bummed to hear that Virgil died. Yes, everybody who was wrestling fans from the 80s and 90s, you know, Hogan's boom period in the late 80s and up to the Monday Night Wars, you guys remember Virgil. He was Ted DiBiase's valet, bodyguard, whatever the hell he was, manservant. On a brief side note, in the 80s, Vince McMahon thought it was okay to have a black manservant. Yeah, that was a thing. Okay. But he was all over the place. Virgil, like, most people underestimate his career because, I mean, he wasn't a standout. He wasn't a main eventer. He never won any titles. He couldn't talk. He could barely wrestle. So the fact that the dude had a career as long as he did is pretty damn outstanding. And yet, when you think about it, there was something about Virgil, about Mike Jones. There was something about this man that when something got big, he was able to latch onto it and hold on for dear life. This man latched onto Ted DiBiase. He rode that wave out. I think his career lasted longer than DiBiase's. I think DiBiase retired long before Virgil did. And then they paired him up with Roddy Piper in the late 80s, early 90s. Like, Piper was trying to be the Mickey to Virgil's Rocky. Shit didn't work out like that, though. It did not work out like that at all. But Virgil was one of those guys that saw the writing on the walls. When Hogan went to WCW, Hall, Nash, DiBiase, like, when all these guys were jumping ship and going to WCW, Virgil said, I'm out this bitch. And he went too. And he latched on to this main event act. He latched on to the NWO. And you think about it, Virgil was the original R-Truth. Stay with me on this one. R-Truth extended his career by like 10 years. Because he cut a promo and said the wrong name of the city he was in. Like, if they were in Pittsburgh, he said they were in Philadelphia or some shit like that. I don't remember. But Vince thought it was funny as shit. So they started booking R-Truth, making fun of him. And R-Truth was smart enough to go, fuck it, I'm getting paid for this shit. He came up with Little Jimmy. He came up with, you know, John Cena was my childhood hero, even though he's 10 years older than John Cena. Like, R-Truth has been a comedy act, and it extended his career by 10 years. Virgil did that shit in the 80s because Virgil, Mike Jones, was named Virgil because they were making fun of Dusty Rhodes, whose real name is Virgil Runnels. So they basically made fun of Dusty by naming Mike Jones Virgil. When Virgil jumped ship and went to WCW, what did they name him? They named him Vincent. As in Vincent Kennedy McMahon. Virgil's whole career, and then later on, remember they named him Shane for no reason whatsoever. They just called him Shane. Virgil's entire career was stretched out by 10 or 12 years by other people just being petty as shit. And Virgil goes, fuck it, there's a paycheck in it. And I can guarantee you that's what it is, because I met him. I met Virgil. I met him back in, holy shit, 2004, 2005. First time I ever went to a convention. I went to Wizard World LA. And I don't even know if Wizard World's still doing conventions, but it was the first comic convention I ever went to. And I'm walking around, and I'm not going to lie, I was geeking the fuck out all over the place. That's where I met Lori Petty. And I hope that twat burns in hell. I'll tell that story another time. But I'm walking around, and you see Virgil at a booth. And I just geeked out. Holy shit, this is Virgil. And I walked up and, hey, how you doing? You know, Virgil, big fan. My name's Greg. Shook his hand. He was the nicest guy. He was seriously the nicest guy. And he has all these pictures on his booth that he's ready to autograph. And all these pictures with Ted DiBiase, you know, back from like SummerSlam 88 with the Mega Powers versus the Mega Bucks. You've got pictures of him with the $1 million belt. And he was a super nice guy until I started marking out to the pictures. And then Virgil, I have said this before. I have told other people this before. There's something about me. I don't know if it's my face. I don't know if it's my vibe. But there's something about me that makes complete strangers open up to me like I'm Dr. Phil. And the moment I started talking to Virgil about these pictures, this fucking guy gave me his life story. Yeah, look at this picture right here. This is right before the first ever SummerSlam. Man, I was 19 years old, had my whole life ahead of me. Next thing you know, I'm fucking blowing all my money up my nose. And, you know, oh God, I was doing so many drugs back then and, you know, just pissed my life away. And I'm just looking at my girlfriend at the time going, run, save yourself. It's already too late for me, but go. Tell others to never do this. Let me be the cautionary tale. Holy shit. He seriously just fucking unloaded like his entire life story. Like, I don't know if he thought I was the guy putting together Dark Side of the Ring 20 years before there was a Dark Side of the Ring, but he just seriously, I wish I could say it was an elevator pitch. But no. This was a in church confessional. Like that's what he did. Like, oh my God. It gets worse. I have no idea how I got out of there. I honestly, at this point, I think the memory was so traumatic that I blocked it out. But I seriously cannot tell you, hand to God, how the fuck I got away from Virgil's booth. I'm just thankful that I did. It had to have been like 5 or 6 years later. Ted DiBiase had just gone into the WWE Hall of Fame. So whatever year that was, I'm at another convention. There is Ted DiBiase and Virgil at the same convention and the same booth. Okay. And they were charging like $50 for a photograph, something like that. I don't remember. And, I walked up and I marked the hell out to Ted DiBiase. This is the first time, as long as I've been wrestling, I've never got to meet Ted DiBiase. So I seriously just marked out like a bitch. And I'm shaking his hand and, you know, I'm telling him about SummerSlam 88 was the first pay-per-view I ever bought as a wrestling fan. And, you know, he main evented the first pay-per-view I ever bought. And, you know, and Ted DiBiase, I mean, super nice guy, Really hard to believe that him and his son would defraud a charity 20 years later and end up with, you know, felony charges. But as far as I can tell, he was really nice to me. And he asked if I wanted a picture with him and Virgil. And I was like, fuck yeah, I do. And so I paid the $50, $60, whatever it is. And DiBiase, like, Virgil's on my left, DiBiase's on my right. DiBiase turns away from me, takes the real $1 million belt, the actual $1 million belt, and drops it on my shoulder. Like, I swear to God, he separated my shoulder. Just dropped that bitch on my shoulder. And somewhere there's a picture of me, Ted DiBiase on my right, Virgil on my left, actual $1 million belt over my right shoulder. But I totally skipped why this was worse than the first time I met Virgil. As I'm walking up to the booth, I seriously have to be 20, 25 feet away from the booth. And Virgil turns, looks at me, waves, and says, "Hey, Greg, what's going on?" And I turned and looked at my girlfriend, who was with me the first time I met Virgil. And I went, did this fucking guy just remember my name from like 5 years ago? That terrified the shit out of me. Because the first time I met him, it turned into an impromptu therapy session. And I don't know what he's been up to in the last 5 or 6 years, but I'm fairly certain I'm about to hear all of it. And like I said, I had the interaction with DiBiase and Virgil, and I'm actually, at this point, I'm thankful because everything has gone really well up to this point. And so I'm just like, okay, now I need to, like, just get the fuck out of here. I somehow, like, if I could throw down, like, a smoke bomb and disappear like Batman, I would, because I know I'm not getting out of here clean. And I didn't. As I'm walking away, Virgil puts this giant hand on my shoulder and, "Hey, bro, look." And he's showing me these like 5x7s he's got. And, "Hey, you know, for $20, I will, I'll autograph one of these." And I'm trying to graciously, respectfully decline, like, "No, bro, like, nothing's going to top the picture of you and DiBiase and together. I nothing's going to top that." And Virgil, the expression on his face changes. I can only describe it. It looked like in his head, he just pictured me slapping his mama. That was the expression he got on his face. And then he went, "All right, I see how it is. Bye." Turned and walked away from me. I deeply offended this man. In a normal sales environment, this is called upselling. And that's what Virgil just tried to do to me. He tried to upsell me one of his 5x7s in addition to the picture with him and DiBiase. And when I didn't go for the upsell, I think he pictured me slapping his mama. I really do. And I never saw the guy again. Apparently I was dead to him. But anybody who has a Virgil story will tell you this is spot on. My favorite Virgil story, it didn't even happen to me. My favorite Virgil story that I heard was Virgil got a picture with Brooke Hogan. I don't know where they were, what function they were at together, but they happened to be at the same function. And obviously Virgil knew Brooke from, you know, she was a kid when Virgil was working for WWE and Hogan is champ. And, you know, she was probably like 10 or 12 running around at the time. And so, I mean, these two go way back. And so Virgil says, "Hey, let's get a picture together." And Brooke, you know, being super nice, "Yeah, sure, let's get a picture." And Virgil takes a picture with Brooke and then charges her $20 for the picture. That is my favorite Virgil story that didn't happen to me. So, yeah, I'm as weird as this is to say, I'm super bummed that he passed away. So, yeah, rest in peace, Virgil. In other news, in other fantasy sports news, hey, has anyone else heard that Jake Paul is fighting Mike Tyson? What the shit? Like, what? Oh, okay. Now, I'm very honored to say I have never seen a Jake Paul fight in my life. I've never seen a Jake Paul fight. I've never seen a Logan Paul fight. Like, some of the proudest moments of my life are saying that I have never seen either of the Paul brothers fight, and I've never seen a single episode of Keeping Up with the Kardashians. Those are seriously two of my proudest flexes. But I'm not going to lie. I'm kind of tempted. I am incredibly thankful that this fight is on Netflix, because I'm not paying for this fucking thing. I'm not. Netflix is already getting way too much goddamn money from me. I am not throwing down another red nickel. Is that a term? Red nickel? Red cent? Fuck it. I'm not paying for this shit. I said it to YouTube Red. I'm not paying for YouTube Red. I'm not giving Netflix any money to watch this farce of a fucking fight. I'm not. Here's the thing I hate. Here's the thing that's pissing me off is the Paul brothers fight over the hill, AARP receiving retired fighters and act like they're ruling the world. Okay? Like, these fucking guys are acting like Muhammad Ali in his prime. I don't give a shit. You can sit here and give me all the names of, well, look at all these former champions they beat. Okay, first off, they beat former UFC champions. Okay? MMA and boxing, two totally different animals. Those are two completely different animals, and only people who've never done anything athletically would tell you that those are the same thing. Okay? They're not. They are absolutely not the same thing. If you don't believe me, go watch the Floyd Mayweather, Conor McGregor fight. That'll fucking prove. MMA and boxing are not the same thing. But let's acknowledge, hypothetically, let's acknowledge they're in the same ballpark. Are the Paul brothers fighters in their prime? Are these guys fighting 28, 29-year-old champions? Fuck no. Fuck no, they're not. Let's go to some of Jake Paul's last fights, okay? Unanimous decision victory over Nate Diaz, who is almost 15 years older than him. And Nate, never been a great striker. Nate's a great jiu-jitsu guy. When Nate Diaz got you on the mat, he would rip your head off and shove it up your own ass. I will concede that. But Nate, not a great striker. And on top of that, fucking 40. All right? And Jake Paul couldn't knock him out. Jake Paul got a unanimous decision. All right? Then we go to Anderson Silva. Jake Paul, again, got a unanimous decision over Anderson Silva. This is Anderson the Spider Silva, okay? Again, MMA is not the same as boxing. Anderson Silva was one of the greatest, if not arguably the greatest MMA fighter of all times, until he snapped his leg like a fucking twig in the Chris Weidman fight, all right? And let's not forget, Anderson Silva, damn near 50. Jake Paul could not knock out a 50-year-old man who is not trained as a boxer. Tyrone Wheatley, Jake Paul knocked the fuck out of him. Not gonna lie. Jake Paul beat the dog shit out of Tyrone Wheatley. But Wheatley hasn't been good for like 10 years. Tyrone Wheatley, I'm not gonna say this to his face, Tyrone Wheatley has not been in his prime in this decade or the past decade. And that's the last MMA fighter that Jake Paul knocked out. So these opponents, not lighting the world on fire. They're not. And when Jake Paul does fight a boxer in his prime, namely Tommy Fury, who's 24 years old, Jake Paul fucking lost. All right. So don't sit here and tell me, oh, well, you know, Jake Paul's a great boxer. No, he's not. He's fighting guys who were big stars 20 years ago. That's it. Jake Paul is doing a real life version of Celebrity Deathmatch. This is what he's doing. All right. These might as well be claymation fights because that's about as realistic as these fucking things are. But Jake Paul is now fighting Iron Mike Tyson. Iron Mike, who, just like every other fighter I've named, over 50 years old. Mike Tyson is 57 years old. Mike Tyson hasn't been in his prime in this millennium. All right? Think about that. Mike Tyson was in his prime. He was undisputed heavyweight champion between 1987 and 1990. That's 40 years ago. 30 years ago. I can't do math. I dropped out of junior college twice. That was 30 years ago. Mike Tyson hasn't been a killer. All right, hold on. I'm going to rephrase because Iron Mike might hear this and I'm going to get my ass kicked. Mike Tyson hasn't been a champion in 30 years. But Iron Mike is still a fucking killer. Has anybody seen the training videos that Tyson's camp has released? Holy shit. I have never felt so bad for sparring equipment because Mike is kicking the living dog shit out of his trainer's focus mitts and the rib cage protector thing. I don't know what that is. I've never had to train with one. But Mike is kicking the dog shit out of the training equipment. Mike Tyson is still a fucking killer. And here's what I hope. And if you think Mike Tyson has lost his edge, Mike Tyson beat the living shit out of a guy like a year ago on a plane. Mike was on a plane. I don't know where he was flying, but this dude is on the plane. He's been drinking. He's, hey, aren't you Iron Mike? And he starts talking to him like these guys went, like they played Little League together. Like this dude just started in on Mike like they'd known each other for decades. And Mike, you know, Mike's got a marijuana business now. He's just like, he's chill as shit. Just, okay, all right. Hey, you know, can I enjoy this fight? I'm not even going to try to do the Mike Tyson voice because, again, he's going to hear it and Mike will stick his hand up my ass and work me like a puppet. But Mike's like trying to be cool and he's just, hey, calm down. All right, cool. No, I'm, you know, thank you. I appreciate it. You're a big fan. Thank you so much. And anyone who's ever been on a plane, there are some planes that have free alcohol. Like I said, I don't know where they were flying. My flight to and from Sydney, Australia had free drinks. I just didn't take advantage of it because, you know, I'm drunk on a plane for 16 hours. Nothing good's going to come of this. But some planes have free alcohol. And I'm assuming this guy was just drinking. And he pissed off Mike Tyson so much. Mike got up and he hit this dude 7 or 8 times before anybody knew what the fuck happened. That's out of shape, Mike Tyson. That's not training for a fight, Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson is currently training like Buster Douglas is still alive and he's got a rematch. Tyson is getting like either Mike Tyson is training to kill Jake Paul or we are being worked. We are absolutely being worked, and this fight is completely staged because Mike looks like he's going to hurt Jake Paul. And here's my hope. Like I said, I have no faith that this is a legitimate fight. If nothing else, this is basically the Logan Paul Floyd Mayweather exhibition. That's honestly the highest hope I have for this fight. But here's my hope. I pray to God You know what? I'm right now, God, if you can hear me, if you can grant me this one wish, if you can answer this one prayer, I will be in church this Sunday and every Sunday until I get carried in a box. It was 87, 88, sometime around then. Mike's at the top of his game. Mike is the undisputed heavyweight champion of the world. And he is, without a doubt, the baddest motherfucker on the planet. And Mike Tyson was at a zoo somewhere. And he walked up to one of the security guards. And he offered the security guard $60,000 if this security guard let him in the gorilla cage. Mike Tyson wanted to fight a silverback gorilla. If that Mike Tyson shows up to this fight, my monkey ass will be in church until the day I die. Please, please, Lord, I am on my knees. I want to see the Mike Tyson that wanted to throw hands with a silverback gorilla. I want to see him show up to this Jake Paul fight. Because that's the last thing we'll ever see of Jake Paul. Jake Paul, like, they're not going to be able, like, this is going to be an episode of CSI. This is going to be an episode of Bones, and they're putting the corpse back together. That is my hope for this fight. I need a moment. Give me a second. I'm sorry, but that thought actually brought a tear to my eye. Anyway, moving on. Main event of this show tonight is, like I said in the beginning, they're remaking The Crow, and nerds' buttholes are slamming shut. Oh my God, have you... All right, the trailer is online. I have seen this. And taking up the role of Eric Draven this time is Bill Skarsgård, Pennywise, from the It movies. And already, when I hear Bill Skarsgård's name thrown around, I'm on board. Okay, because let's face it, Bill Skarsgård was a creepy fuck in It, okay? Bill Skarsgård was creepy as shit as Pennywise, and when you're the creepiest thing to ever come out of a Stephen King movie, think of the ground that covers. Okay, so I already have full faith in this, but then the trailer came out. Okay, let me back up. My friend Marie sent me, there was a still that came out of Skarsgård in the Eric Draven makeup. And she said, what do you think of this? And Mimi, I love you to death. I really do. So this is no reflection on you, if you even listen to this. But, because it's my friends don't listen to my shit. But I'm past it. I am so past the screenshots and people just losing their shit over, like, a fraction of a second of a movie, because we've been doing it forever. We've absolutely just, you see a screen, it's not even a finished screenshot of the movie. It's something, you know, behind the scene production shit, and people just, oh, this movie's gonna suck. Look at this picture that was taken that represents 1/100th of a second of this 2-hour movie. Whole movie's gonna suck. Fuck it, I'm not going. That's what we do, folks. It is. And now there's this remake of The Crow coming out. And the online bitching. Oh my God. Okay. I started, again, this is my toxic trait. It is, because I see trolls online and I actually care. That's my toxic trait, because the bitching has been, oh my God, this movie looks nothing like the original. No shit. Why would you make a movie that's exactly like a movie that already exists? Explain that to me, all right? Hey, if you think I'm wrong, go look up Vince Vaughn's version of Psycho, because that happened. That fucking happened. Vince Vaughn and Anne Heche were in a remake of Psycho that was in a shot-for-shot reproduction. I don't know. I don't even know who the director was. I don't care. But I swear to God, he got the entire cast together, put on the original Alfred Hitchcock Psycho, and said, "Just do that. Just do that." And guess what? The movie fucking bombed because it was an exact shot-for-shot remake of the original. So, internet fucktards, please explain to me why you would remake a movie exactly in every possible detail to a movie that already exists. Explain that to me, okay? Because you can't. You just can't, all right? And how many of you fuckwits have actually watched The Crow in the last 2 decades? You haven't. You have not given a shit. You have not given a flaming shit about The Crow until you heard they were making this remake, and now all of a sudden you guys are up in arms. Shut it. I don't want to hear shit. Here was another one. Oh my God, here was another just... Oh my God, Bill Skarsgård looks like Jared Leto's Joker. Yeah. Yeah, he does. And you've been petitioning Warner Brothers for 6 years for the David Ayer cut of Suicide Squad so you can get more Jared Leto's Joker. So explain that to me. Explain to me how you can bitch about this thing right here looking like something else that you've been petitioning for more of over the last 6 years. Just make it make sense. That's all I want. I just want some consistency in your bitching. Just help me. Help me to help you. Help me to help you. That's all I'm saying. And can we be honest? Let's be honest. I want to be honest with you. There's only 2 reasons you give a shit about The Crow. There's only two. It's only one of 2 reasons. First reason is because The Crow was 30 years ago. You were 30 years younger. You were 30 years slimmer. That movie reminds you of a time in your life when you had all this opportunity ahead of you. You had all these choices. You hadn't fucked shit up yet. That's what this movie represents. And now that they're remaking it, it's just kicking dirt on your nostalgia. That's all it is. It just reminds you. I was a junior in high school when this movie came out. Which is probably why I don't mind that they're remaking it, because you couldn't fucking pay me enough money to go back to high school. Fuck that shit. I enjoy going back to my high school reunion and being one of the few to have never gotten married or had kids, because it shows. It really does. You know how you always have those hypothetical conversations with friends? And they say, oh, if you can go back and to high school and do it all over again, would you? Fuck no. No. If I was forced to go back in time, I'm drawing the line at 25. Do not take me back any further than 25. And even then, you're going to take me kicking and screaming. Like, Doctor Who is going to have to drag my ass into that TARDIS to get me back to 25, to being 25 again. Like, no, 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 no. Okay. But that's it. That's why you're bitching about The Crow. It's the nostalgia. You're thinking about where you were, where your life was when The Crow first came out. That's it. Okay. But there's one other reason. There is one other reason that you care about The Crow. Are you ready? Say it with me. Because Brandon Lee fucking died. That was it. I swear to God, if they remade The Crow and through some act of fate, karma, whatever, if Bill Skarsgård got killed while this fucking movie was being made, you guys would be all over it. You would. Don't act like you wouldn't, because I got 2 words for you. Heath Ledger. Thank you. Okay, yeah, you twisted morbid fucks love it when the lead actor dies in the production of the movie, because now here come all the conspiracy theories. Okay, Brandon Lee was taken down by the same Chinese curse that killed his father. Brandon Lee was killed by the same Chinese mafia that got his dad. Heath Ledger was so mentally and emotionally broken by playing the Joker, he killed himself. I'm sorry, does Bill Skarsgård have to apologize for not dying during the making of this movie? Admit it! The only reason you give it... Oh! I just read an interview today. I totally forgot about this till right now. I just read an interview today with Alex Proyas, the director of the original Crow movie. And guess what? He's not supportive of this movie being remade. Fucking shocking. Wait, you mean the guy who's getting no royalties isn't in favor of them remaking his movie? I'm fucking shocked. And it goes further. I could have stopped at the headline. I should have stopped at the headline, but my dumbass read the article. And in the article, Alex Proyas said that Brandon Lee died during the making of this movie, and finishing this movie after he died was a testament to his legacy that will be disrespected. I can't remember the term he used. Denigrated by remaking this movie. Stop. 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 Correct me if I'm wrong. Isn't Alex Proyas, the director of this movie, ultimately the guy responsible for Brandon Lee's death in the first place, who is now using Brandon Lee's death that he might have caused to say this movie should not be remade? Alex Proyas, I want to kick you in the nuts so fucking hard right now. I seriously want to Ray Finkel you right in the beanbag for bringing up the death of the man who you might have killed. And for those of you thinking, well, Alex Proyas wasn't responsible. Yeah, he was. Yeah, he was. Because as the director, and correct me if I'm wrong, you guys have been listening to the show. You know my socials. You can fucking message me if you want. Correct me if I'm wrong. But is not the director of the movie in charge of everything? Brandon Lee was killed because nobody checked the weapon close enough. And one of the slugs from one of the dummy rounds dislodged and got stuck in the barrel of the gun. So when the gun was loaded with blanks, and a blank is basically, it's a bullet. It's a bullet with a fucking slug removed. And there's, you still have the powder, and you still have a paper like plug to keep the powder from falling out, but there's no slug. So you get the same noise, you get the same bang, but there's no projectile. The projectile from the dummy round in the shot before dislodged and got stuck in the barrel. So now when the blank was put in the gun, you have a cartridge, you have black powder, and you have a projectile. Is not the director in charge of everybody on the set, including the people that should have checked the fucking guns? Am I wrong about this? So, let's rewind. Zip, zap, zip, zip, zap, zip, zip, zap, yep. Alex Proyas, the guy ultimately in charge, ultimately responsible for Brandon Lee's death, is using Brandon Lee's death to say this movie shouldn't be remade. Alex Proyas, go fuck yourself. Okay? That's all I'm saying. Oh, for fuck's sake. Oh my God, folks. And let me share this with you. Let me share a little secret with you. Okay? I want you to lean in. Okay? Lean in real close. Cause I need to tell you a secret. Okay? You don't have to see the fucking movie. You don't. Just because they're making a movie doesn't mean you have to watch the movie. I'll give you two more examples. They made a remake of Point Break. So I've heard, because I've never seen the fucking thing. I love the original Point Break. Keanu Reeves, Patrick Swayze, Johnny Utah. Like, dude, I almost have my buddy Danny almost talked me into getting a Johnny Utah tattoo. That's not a joke. That is, I'm dead serious. And then they remade it. And I went, oh, fuck you. Yeah, no, that's not my Point Break. And I've never seen the damn thing. I know it's out there, but I didn't see it. Guess what? New Crow's coming out. You don't have to see it. Roadhouse. There is currently a remake of Roadhouse. Patrick Swayze's fucking Roadhouse with Jared Leto. Is it Jared Leto? Jake Gyllenhaal. You can't tell them apart. Who gives a shit? Jake Gyllenhaal. Jake Gyllenhaal is playing Dalton. Guess what? I haven't seen the fucking thing. I refuse. Okay? Because, no. I love Swayze's Roadhouse. Jared Leto. Jake Gyllenhaal. Whoever the... Okay. Side note. I swear you cannot tell the difference between Jake Gyllenhaal, Jared Leto, Tobey Maguire. Well, you can now because... Toby's all chunky now, but like mid-2000s, couldn't tell those three guys apart. Their mothers couldn't tell them apart. Anyway, Jake Gyllenhaal is in a Roadhouse remake. Good luck to him. Hope the movie does well. I'm not going to see the fucking thing. Don't care, because I'm a Gen Xer, and the original Roadhouse is my Roadhouse. Patrick Swayze is my Dalton. No, not seeing it. So you don't have to see the damn thing. You don't. All right, it's coming out whether you like it or not. So don't go see the fucking thing. It's real simple. And if it was just this movie, that was drawing so much hate, I probably wouldn't be this pissed off. I probably wouldn't care. But you fucking nerds, you goddamn nerds. And again, like I said in the last show, when I say nerds, for me, it's said with love. Nerds is a term of endearment because, goddamn it, I'm a nerd, okay? And 95% of you I can hang with, have a drink with, talk movies, TV shows, comic books, music, wrestling. 95% of you I can hang out with, and I would love doing it. But there's that 5% that are going to catch a flagrant foul. You are. Okay, because you bitch about everything, all right? And if you think I'm wrong, let me introduce you to a guy named Hugh Jackman. Because you fucking nerds, you bitched back in 2000. Well, but Hugh Jackman can't play Wolverine. Hugh Jackman's 6'2". Wolverine's only 5'3". Well, first off, no, he's not. He's 5'1", okay? Because I'm 5'5", and trust me, when you're like under 5'7", you fucking know every fucking celebrity that's under 5'7". So trust me, no, Wolverine's 5'1". Fuck that. But point being is that you hated Hugh Jackman as soon as he got cast as Wolverine. And then when that first Bryan Singer movie came out, oh, you bitches were on board, all right? And you have been kissing Hugh Jackman's ass for 20 years now. Over 20 years now, and all you fuckers have your tickets. You have your tickets for Deadpool 3, and you can't fucking wait to see Hugh Jackman do it one more time when you know goddamn well you bitched about it 20 years ago. All right? You think I'm kidding? You think, okay, let's go back. There was this guy named Michael Keaton, and way back in the 80s, Michael Keaton was chosen by director Tim Burton to play Batman. Do you think that you guys were arms wide open? Fuck no, you weren't. You hated it. You absolutely hated it. You know what? And I can prove it.
The controversy is whether an actor like Michael Keaton, best known for roles like Mr. Mom and Beetlejuice, can pull off the part of the Caped Crusader.
I think that he's kind of a wimp.
It don't seem that it's right, you know? That you should have a smaller man playing as a Batman.
Well, I'd rather see Arnold Schwarzenegger, but I think Arnold Keaton would be good too.
He need some muscles on him.
I would have liked to seen a sexier person, you know, more macho man.
That was taken from a news story in April 1989 where, guess what? There was no internet. So you actually had to bitch to a person. And that, yeah. You guys hated Michael Keaton as Batman. And now some of you just fall to your knees and worship the ground that Keaton walks on.
We're not worthy! We're not worthy! We're not worthy! We're scum! We suck!
And do you want one more? I'll give you one more, okay? Because if you listen to the last show, people were bitching about the X-Men 97 series. They were bitching, the X-Men are going woke, this is bullshit, this is gonna suck. Guess what, fuckers? The X-Men debuted yesterday to a perfect 100% score on Rotten Tomatoes. All right? So, here's another thing I want to explain to me. How can you actually hear bitching on the internet from internet nerds and still take it seriously? All right? Because, as I've shown, you guys have been doing this shit since 1989, probably before that. All right? So, circling back around to the crow, calm the fuck down. That's all I'm saying. Calm the fuck down, go see the movie, or don't, and we'll see how it goes from there. All right? So, I believe my main message is calm the fuck down. And that's a good place to end it. Calm the fuck down. Anyway, I am Greg Hernandez, the Ninja Nerd Warrior. You can follow me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok. If you love this show and you've been putting up with this rant for the last 46 minutes, which is roughly 60 minutes longer than I wanted to go, then you can find my show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or Amazon Music. Go check it out. Give me a 5-star. Give me a review, whatever that platform allows. And it'll help more people find the show. And every single one of those platforms has a share button, and go ahead and click that and send it to people you love or send it to people you hate. I really don't care. I need the numbers. So, all right, folks, that is it. And I will talk to you later. Bye-bye. Time to take her home, her dizzy head, this conscious lady. Time to take her. Oh, and if there's anyone who doesn't think I'm a huge fan of the original Crow movie, I actually saw Stone Temple Pilots in concert and left after this song. Yeah, that happened.